Today's daf in Masechet Arachin is daf Zayin, brought to you on the road. And because we were discussing yesterday what the din is if someone was being taken to his execution, whether we'll wait long enough for him to have the dam of a chatas or an asham in the Beit HaMikdash sprinkled for him, and we were mechalik between if the zevach was zavuach already or if it wasn't zavuach already. So today the Mishnah also speaks of something that's not directly related to Arachin, but does distinguish between various dinim of Inui Hadin, but this time in terms of a woman. So the Mishnah begins, Aisha, we're holding in the middle of Daf Zayin, right at the, above the wider lines. Aisha Shiyatza Le'areg, a woman who is pregnant, and she is being taken to her execution. In mam timin la ach teled, you do not wait for her to give birth. You simply kill her and her fetus. Fi isha shi yashva la mashber. However, if she's already at the point where she's begun to deliver, then mam timin la ach teled, then you do wait for her. So this is similar to the case that we had by Hayah Zevach Zavuach by Hanish, that will wait long enough to do the Zrikat Adam. Over here, will wait long enough for her to give birth if she already began giving birth. Ha'isha shenehrga, the din is that if a woman is killed, then the halacha is that nehenim sa'ara. You can use her hair. Now we'll see what that means. Normally, a mate is asur b'hana'a. And the question over here is, why would we say that her hair is mutter? Gemara is going to discuss this. Whereas a behemah sheneherga asura b'hana'a, an animal that was killed is completely asur b'hana'a. Of course, this means killed in Beit Din, because it says in the pasuk, "Ba'al hashor naki." As Rashi says, "Naki" means "naki ka adam shomer lechaviro yatsa ploni naki mi'nechasav," as we're going to have in the Parshat Mishpatim soon. Says the Gemara, what is the chiddush of not putting off an execution just because a woman is pregnant? Certainly, me'ikar hadin, an embryo, is simply an extension of the mother's body. And if we're going to kill the mother, so whatever extensions are there should be killed anyway. So pshita, gufani, what's the chiddush? It is a part of her body. Well, it's salkada techamina ho'iluchtiv kasher yashit alav. Ba'al ha'isha. Since in a case where somebody caused a man's wife to abort her pregnancy, the din over there is that the Baal is to be paid for the difference in value between his wife with a fetus or multiple fetuses or without. And he can actually be tovea, which means that it's all very nice to speak of the din in terms of the murder, that is to say that the vlad is considered to be an extension of the mother. However, there's another issue here. There's a financial issue. Since the husband has a financial interest in the survival of the fetus, so what right do we have to kill the fetus? So I might have thought that you can't. Since it's mamona deval, it's his money. We don't have a right, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of killing the woman, we don't have a right for take away his money. For what reason? Kamash Malan comes on the Mishnah to say that indeed we do. But wait, why do we? Ve'imah achinami, why isn't it true that we should have no right to take away his money? Omer Rabbi Abahu, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, that's because Omer Akra umetu gam shnehem. So the Lashon over there, they were talking about where two people have illicit sex, where she's married, and it says over there, both of them shall die. Ha'isha shochelim ha'isha v'ha'isha. Why does it say gam shnehem? So gam shnehem comes to tell me, gam is a ribui. That means also something else. And that's coming to be marba, the vlad. So even though the Baal may have a financial interest in a case where we're not involved in mitat beit din, but here the Torah says beferush, you have to kill the gam. But wait, everybody knows that Gam Shnehem is coming to teach me a very important halakha. V'hayni bo'ele achir Shnehem shavim give Rabbi Yoshia. Didn't Rabbi Yoshia learn from there that only in a case where both parties to this little adventure of a married woman, both parties have to be chayiv. So in other words, if one, let's say she was a ketana, so she's too young to be memutat in Beitin, or he is a katan, so he's too young to be brought to Beitin. So neither of them are chayiv in that case. That's why it says gam shneihem, that they have to be the same. So how can you use gam shneihem to tell me that the vlad is supposed to be killed? No. There's two different issues here. Here we're talking about from the word gam. There we're talking from the word shneihem. It's two different issues. The gam adds something. The shneihem tells me that they're both together. Continues the Gemara. In the event, that Mishnah said, that Yashvala Mashper, that she already began now to have contractions, so there, and she's, well, it's more than began, she's actually sitting on the birthing chair, so in other words, she's about ready to deliver, and then we'd wait for her, but why is that, my time, huh? Because Kivan de Akar Gufach Rinohu, since the Vlad has already begun to be born, it's no longer considered to be part of her body, because systems are shutting down. If a woman is being taken out to be executed, you first murder the fetus. You smash her stomach in order for the fetus to die first. Because if the fetus will continue to live for a while after the death of the mother, it's likely to cause all types of embarrassing situation, vaginal bleeding and all types of goo and whatever. So it's in order to preserve her dignity, so we see to it that the fetus dies first. Wait a minute. Are you trying to say that in this case she would, if we wouldn't do that, that she would have died first and the fetus would have survived? L'meimra dehi kadma u'meta bereisha? That she first would die, and the fetus would continue to live for some time? We know that the halacha is that the vlad is my peresha. The fetus dies first. Titznan, where do we see this? Very interesting Mishnah. It says over there that a tinok ben yomo, a child that is just one day old, that the din is, that that child can be nochel. So he inherits, and he's also manchil. He also gives off an inheritance to others if he died on that same day. So in other words, what we think it means is that, let's say his father died on the day that he's born, so he gets his chelek in the Yerusha, and then if he dies, his brothers get his chelek in the Yerusha. But that doesn't make any sense, because if he wouldn't have been there at all, it would have been the exact same result. They would have taken that same property that he is now not. So what's the difference? It just means that nothing happened, that's all. So you're not really telling me much of a fiddish. So let's take a look, says the Gemara, in that. For Amar Rav Shimshon, the only thing that this could mean is something entirely different, that if the mother dies after delivering this baby, then the baby inherits his mother. Now, he has brothers from his father. The brothers from his father would never have inherited his mother. But now that he dies on the same day, he now takes the property of his mother and he now bequeaths it in his death to his brothers, who are brothers from the father, who otherwise would never have been able to have any share in the mother. That's what it means. So it means he's no chel b'nechseya ein la'anchil la'achim min'av. That makes a lot of sense, because without that, they wouldn't have gotten anything. Now, you'll notice that it specifically says, Dafka tinok who's ben yom echad. Now, if this were true about a fetus, it certainly would have said so. It would have said that while a woman is pregnant, that if she dies, the fetus can inherit her, and then when he dies, a minute later, So then his brothers from the father, whoever impregnated her, is going to be Yoresh, the mother. But it doesn't say that. Okay, why doesn't it say that? It doesn't say that because there ain't no such thing. In other words, the mother would never have died first, allowing him to inherit her if he was a fetus. Because the child, the fetus, would have died first before the mother dies. So anyway, and that's our raya. So you see, Dafka ben Yom Echad, only if he's one day old, keep right, huh? Dafka ben Yom Echad. But if it was a fetus whose mother died, he would not be Yorisha. So, and therefore he can't be Morish. Why? Undoubtedly, because the case can't happen. The fetus would have died before the mother. And therefore, the only way in which it would have worked would be to say that you don't have to be alive in order to be Yorish. Which is true, in a sense. In other words, let's say a grandfather is dead. And the father, his son dies. And he, the grandfather, had other sons. So he is certainly Yorish, even though he's dead. He's Yorish, his son, who dies, to pass it on to his other sons. That's how brothers are Yorish. They go through the father, who may not be alive, but that's only in that type of Yerusha. Yerusha of a mother never goes through a dead person. So a child who died before his mother died, and then his mother dies later, maybe 30 years later, whatever it is, his brothers are not going to be Yorish anything through him. And Ein HaBen Yoreshet Imo, BeKever LaMechir LaAchim Min HaAv, he in his grave cannot give a Yerusha to his brothers from his father. So therefore, you see from here that the fetus dies first. So why do we have to kill the fetus in order to avoid embarrassment for the mother that we're going to kill as a mitzvah? Says the Gemara, because that's only where the mother died. Where the mother didn't die, we killed her. There's a big difference. In other words, if you're talking about systems of the body shutting down, so then obviously the fetus is not going to survive if the mother doesn't. That's the point. But if you shoot a mother through the head, I mean, so obviously the fetus can continue to go on a few seconds longer than the mother.
Right? Does it matter what type of death also?
I mean, fine, that could be. But the point is that over here we're talking about mitat bitin. We're interfering in the natural order of things. That's talking about the natural order. So that's just somebody's dying. So over there, obviously, the child is much more insubstantial or vulnerable in his life, and therefore he'll die first. So I think of Vlad Zuta Chiyuta, the fetus has less of life force in him. So because of that, in a sense, we have this vision of a metaphorical drop that comes out of the Malach HaMoves and cuts his throat. Okay, so that happens first. But when somebody is killed, basically, there is no tipa of the Malach HaMoves. We're doing the cutting, so to speak. And therefore, he made the Beresha, she indeed would die first, and then the child would create an embarrassing situation for the mother. It's the Gemara, but we know an actual event where the child continued to live after the natural death of the mother. For Havi Uvda, wasn't there a case where we noted that the child, there were like three kicking episodes after the mother already died? And parchis atlat perchuse, it was like kicking three times. Yeah, right. And so does the lizard tail kick three times. I mean, what's that prove? It just proves that there's muscular contractions that could be after death. I mean, certainly you're not going to suggest that the tail of a lizard is alive. Obviously, muscles can contract after death. So what does that prove? So midi d'havi as an avalit ta'adam afarches. It's no different than the whipping about of the tail of a lizard. For woman dies in childbirth on Shabbat, we're afraid that the child has survived and we need to save it. So mevim sakin umekarin et krisa umosin et avla. We bring a knife, we cut open her stomach, perform a cesarean, and we try to save the child. Because it's certainly possible that either it's talking about, it's possible that the fetus would die first, or it's talking about over here that the child has already begun to be born, and therefore it isn't as dependent in the mother as it would be the other case that we were talking about. Ask the Gemara, well, what's the fetish in that? Pshita. Obviously, we can cut her stomach. Why not? She's dead. You're not doing any Isra on Shabbos cutting. I mean, she's a piece of meat, so to speak. You're cutting meat on Shabbos. Why can't you cut meat on Shabbos? It's b'chatech b'basar. It's cutting a piece of meat. You're not cutting a living body. Omar Rabbah's talking about over here, not that you can cut. That's not the chiddush. The chiddush is that you can bring a sakin through Rosh Hashanah Rabbi, be mechallel Shabbos, 100%, in order to attempt to save the child.
But isn't it?
You can talk.
Isn't it alive?
That's the Gemara's kasha. What's the chiddush? The mistake of a Kalalina Shabbata? What? That even though you're not sure if the fetus lives, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. That's a famous halacha that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if there's any chance of life. I mean, that's Tanina. It's a famous Misha Nafal of Mapola. A building collapses on Shabbos, on somebody. Or maybe, we don't even know if he's there. Safik Usham, Safik Enosham. Suffolk Chai, Suffolk Maid. We have no idea if he was there or not, if he is there, whether he's alive or not. And whoever it was, we don't even know if he's Jewish or not. Suffolk Knani, Suffolk Israel, makes no difference. Befakhim alav et agal, you still bring bulldozers, you bring open whatever you need to do to uncover the possible living body. So why is this any different? You're bringing a knife, worse than bringing a bulldozer. So you're doing this on Shabbos to uncover, possibly, a living body. Ah, but you see, that doesn't prove it. You know why? Because, isn't there a difference between a person who definitely was once alive as an independent organism? This fetus never was born. So you're saying, okay, but it might be alive. There's a difference between might come to life and we know definitely was alive, and therefore you need to know that you would even be Mechal Shabbos without any chazaka of chiyut. So, I might have thought, emolo, come hashmalon, that you can.
That's really cool. Yeah. Because it's very, I don't want to keep rambling with what's it called, but. It's really cool because since it's part of the body, it's considered anyway, so it really would be logically. It
doesn't have its own view.
Except you could argue, I guess that's what we say, that once it dies, it's as if it got.
Right, and also it's possible, isn't it, Karen? Okay, the next thing that we had was that Haisha Shenaraga, if she was killed in Beit Din, you're allowed to use her hair. Oh, why? You're not allowed to be ne'ne from a mate. Every mate is a surba ana'a. That's something that, I mean, you're certainly, we're not arguing about that. That we learned from Egla Rufa. Because it says, Vatomot Sham Miriam, and it says Sham Eta Egla. But if we can't be used again. So it's Orfu Sham Eta Egla Banacha. So just like over there, it's a surbana, a dead human is a surbana. Anyway, Amar Rav, Mishnah is talking about where the woman, before she died, said, give my hair to my daughter. Tnusari Labiti. What does that make? What difference does that make? And if she said, give my hand to my daughter, now her hand is mutterbana. Who cares what she says? The Torah said the mate is a surbana. So Ilu Amra Tnu Yadi Labiti. If she said, give my hand to my daughter, we would have given it to her. Mi'avina lo. Omar Rav, we're not talking about her hair, silly. We're talking about her sheitel. We're talking about peyan nochrit. Wait a minute. That's crazy. If we're talking about a sheitel, so then why does she have to say, give it to my daughter? I mean, if you're saying, look, I understand, if it's part of her body, and it doesn't help to say, give it to my daughter. If it's not part of her body, why does she have to say, give it to my daughter? I mean, why would it be Asura Ba'ana? So you're saying, Taimed Amra Tnu, only because she said, give it to my daughter. But what, if she wouldn't? Then it would be considered to be her body, and it would at that point become Asura since she's wearing it. I mean, is that so simple? That's true. We know that that din is a question that was raised by Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. The boy Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Sa'ar nashim tzitkaniyot. Well, you have an ir hanidachat. So the din is that all of the things in the city are burned. But and they're burned even if the people in the city, these particular people, didn't worship Avodah Zarah. Once the rogue of the city gets a din of Yarni Dachat, everything monetary, everything is destroyed. Obviously, only the people actually did Avodah Zarah, Chayav Misa. Okay. So he raised the question, what would be the din? When we say Tzitkaniyot, it doesn't mean she's a big Hasidish lady. It just means, I mean, obviously you couldn't because you're not allowed to wear shadel, I thought. Anyway, when he says Nashim Tzitkaniyot, it means Tzitkaniyot vis-a-vis the din of Avodah Zarah. So we call the ones who did the Avodah Zarah the Rishayim, and the ones who didn't do Avodah Zarah the Tzadikim. So what is the din of a shetel? Is that considered to be mao? Is that burned like the rest of the property of an Yerani Dachat or not? And Rava said that what he was talking about was not sa'ar of their personal hair. They were referring to a shetel. The pe'an nochrit coming by. That was what it was referring to. Says the Gemara, yes. It's true that Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Chanina wasn't sure, but that was talking about a case where the shetel was hanging on a hook on the wall. The tali besichta. So over there, maybe, he said maybe it doesn't have a din like her body, and therefore it would be burned like mama. But over here we're talking about that she's wearing it. So she was wearing this shetel, and now we kill her. So Taima, the only reason that the shetel is mutter ba'ana'a is because she said, look, I don't want you to bury the shetel with me. This shetel should go to my daughter. I just want to look nice for my execution, so I'll wear it. But afterwards you give it to my daughter. So then, the din would be, but if she didn't, it's only that she said it. So Taima da Amra Tnu. But if she wouldn't have said Tnu, so then if she was wearing it, it would have a din of her gufa, would be bottle to her body, and then it would become Asur. Kashali Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak was a little bit confused by that answer. He said, okay, how can you say that? Do you note that the Mishnah contrasts her sar with the animal? Are you telling me that the animal was wearing a shetel, and the animal's shetel is usher, but her shetel is butter? I mean, how are you contrasting the animal and the human if they're two different cases? You're saying a behemoth that was killed in Bez that is usher mama. But the sar of a woman is mutter bana. I mean, one is talking about something that she's wearing, and one is talking about the body. Well, it has nothing to do with the human and the animal. So therefore, says Rav Nachman, makes no sense. Or do me the behema katani? The contrast in the Mishnah is between her and a behema. So if the behema is talking about its own hair and not a shetel, so afachanami gufe must be talking literally when it says hair. It means hair. It doesn't mean a shetel. Ela Amar of Nachman. I'll tell you what the issue is over here. There is. We're talking literally about her hair, but the point is that the hair of a dead human is not a sirbana. You know why? It's very simple. The case of a dead human. What asers? The impact of death asers. It's death that asers, because we learn out of Eglon Roof. Okay, so it's the death of the person that is being mukash to Sham, that tomot Sham Miriam. Did Miriam's hair die? No. The hair is not affected by death. It was never alive. I mean, never alive, but it isn't alive as hair. And therefore, it's irrelevant to hair whether it's living or not living, because there's no difference in terms of the hair per se, and because of that, there was no death that affected it. Brilliant. So because of that, zil mita tal sarta. When it comes to a human, it's death, the impact of death that asks. But over here, by a behemoth, it's the gemar din in beidin that asks it. It becomes a moment, because it says, uba'al hashor naki. So that moment that you pass in the chiev, there's no longer any heter hana'an. It's nothing to do with the impact of death. Tony Levi kavati to Rav. Levi actually learned a braita that said what Rav said. And what he said was Tani Leva, and he had one braita, and also, sorry, Tani Levi also kavati Renachem Bar Yitzchak. There was another braita that said Renachem Bar Yitzchak's pshat. Now we're talking over here about real hair. And here are the two braita that Levi had quoted. Tani Levi kavati to Rav. Ha'isha shiyotza'ah le'hareg, and here's the part that's like Rav, va'amra tnu sa'ari leviti notnim, but meita ein notnim, if she dies without saying anything, mipnei sha'amet asur b'hana'ah. Wait a minute, that, what do you mean, mipnei sha'amet asur b'hana'ah? Everybody knows that. Well, why is the bride needs to tell me meita asur b'hana'ah? Pshita. Ella, the point of the braita is that it's not talking about real hair. The point of the braita is no yeya meta surbana. Anything that is warranted to prettify the mate is asurbana, which is exactly the way that Rav explained it. If she said, don't leave this on my head, give it to my daughter, so then it's not no yeya mate. Tanya kavati ragwa yitzchak, and on the other hand, we have a braita that says what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Ha'isha shemeta ne'enim b'sa'ara. If a woman dies, her hair is mutar b'hana'ah, but a behima shenerga asura b'hana'ah. Continues the braita to explain exactly as Rav Nachman did. Maya Fresh Benzel, as you'll ask, what difference is there between them? Answers the braita exactly what Rav Nachman answered. Zo mita tal sarta, and zo gmardina sarta. So the animal is also because of Gemar Din, the human is also because of the impact of death, which there was none. There was no impact of death on her hair. Hadron Allah Hakol Ma'arichin. And now begins the next wonderful perk. In Ne'erachin or in Be'erachin. There is no case in Erachin which would be pachot misela. Because even where a person goes bankrupt and doesn't have any money, as we saw before, kol erech lehebe shekel ha-kodesh means the minimal erech, even that segyad, that we can let a person get away with is one shekel. If he can't afford one shekel, one sela, so then the debt remains on him until one day he'll pay it. But he cannot retire the debt by paying one shekel, less than one shekel. Furthermore, there is no way that someone who is no there in Erechin would ever pay more than 50 sela. Velo yetra chamishim sela. Ketzah. Okay. How exactly does this work? A zachar from 20 until 60. So, if he didn't have a sela to pay for that, so then the Kohen says, okay, you are gonna pay pesegya. So, imlo yisigya do, natan sela, he paid that sela, and then maybe a year later became a multimillionaire. Doesn't matter. Inu natin klum. Heashir, inu natin klum. Because he was already nifta. But if he had less than a sela, and then he got rich, he still owes the full 50 sela. Have you paid for the zachar between 20 and 60? Now, if someone made a neder berachin and he didn't have the full amount, but he had five slaim, so Rabbi Meir says, he doesn't give everything that he has, he gives the one sela. So, ino notein, ela achat, he gives one, because since anyway the chiyuv is 50 sela, he's not going to pay the whole thing because he simply can't afford to. So then the Torah said that you have a shekel HaKadosh. You can give one shekel. But the Chachamim said you give whatever you got. So no ten et kulam. You have to give all of those slaim to Hekdash. In the Erechim Pachot Misela, V'lo Yeter, Al-Khamishim Sela, or in Be'erechim. Which seems to be completely and totally repetitious. And of course the Gemara is going to explain what in the world is that supposed to add. In other words, there is never less than a shekel and never more than 50, which of course is exactly what the first part of Mishnah said. Says the Gemara, Ein berechim pachot misel. Now how do we know that? Minolan. Dichtiv, as we saw earlier, v'chol erkecha yeh b'shekel ha-kodesh. V'chol erkecha means kol erachim she'ata ma'arif lo yiyu pachutim mishekel. Whatever it is that you do, you can never pay less than a shekel. V'lo yetra chamishim slaim, that's the fairish in the potter. Dechtiv chamishim, and from there we learn out that that is the maximum they could ever pay. Hayubi yadav chamishim, so Rabbi Meir says, look, you don't have to give more than one sela to Hekdesh. So my time with the Rabbi Meir that you shouldn't pay whatever you have. Well, he says like this. Look, there's two psukim, okay? One of them says chamishim. The other pasuk says b'shekel hakadosh, okay? So either you're going to pay the whole amount or you're going to pay a shekel. That's what it's saying. O chamishim, o shekel. V'rabbanan, where do they get that you pay whatever you have? They say that the word shekel only tells me that ahu l'kol erachim sh'ata ma'arif lo yupchutin mishekel da'ata. It only is telling you the minimum. It's not telling you it's either or. What do you get? Either or. It's saying, you pay what you can. If you can't even pay a shekel, then you don't get off of the debt. That's all that it's saying. Understand how you can come and say, the Torah is making you an offer. Either one or 50. But obviously in the case where you've got more, why the heck should you not pay more if you've got more? So in that case, it says, "Beferish Omar Kro Asher Tasid Yada Noder Yarichen HaKohen." According to how much you can afford, that's the way that the Kohen should define it. Vahari Yadom HaSeget, and over here, he does have enough to pay more. Has to come on. Yeah, that's a pretty good point. What is Rabbi Meir going to do with that posse? Rabbi Meir, how does he explain Asher Tasid Yada Noder, which says, "Beferish as much as he can afford." Now that only comes to tell me, that if he was an ani and he was mitchayev to pay, and the erech of a rich man was mitchayev to pay the ani, you go according to the yad hanoder and not the yad hanider. The value of the person that he is using as the reference for his erech is irrelevant. We only look at the yad hanoder. So that if he said, I was going to pay whatever the value of the erechin is of this poor guy, and that poor guy is 50 years old, he's got to pay 50 shkolim. He can say, but I said a poor guy wouldn't have to pay 50 shekel because he doesn't have it. Look at him like he's crazy. What does that have to do with it? You pay according to Yad HaNoder. That's all that pasuk is coming to tell me. Says Rabbanan, that's all very nice. Of course, that's true. We certainly agree that it's true, but meanwhile you see that it's saying what it's saying. You pay according to what the one who made the netter can afford. That's all we're saying. Why is there a contradiction between that and the way that you just explained it? So it's exactly the same as far as we're concerned. Isha shiatza lehareg in mamtinin lachitelet. Isha shiashvala mashber mamtinin lachitelet. Isha shenerga nanimisara. Beima shenerga asura bahana'a. Chita, goofy, why would we wait? It's a sakata, dramina hovertiv kasha yashitalak. Ba'al Isha, it's considered to be mamona de ba'alhu, and therefore we don't have a right to be mafsed his money from him. Kamash balanda, we do it. Why do we do it? Om Rabbi Abba, Om Rabbi Yochanan, because the Torah said so. Omakro Ubeitu Gam Shnehem. Gam Shnehem means if the woman is pregnant, or about to have blood. But we need Gam Shnehem to teach me a different halacha. Both of them have to be Bnei Onashim. Dibri Rabbi Yoshia. No. That's from Shnehem. We're talking about Migam. So Kikar Migam. Yashvala Mashpera. Then we wait. My time, huh? Kivan Do'oka. Now the fetus is considered to be an independent organism, and it's a Gufach Rinohu. Omra Vira Meshvo. Ha'isha Hayutz Ave Areg. Makinota Keneged Beiti Rayon. Wait a minute. Are you saying if we wouldn't have done that, that she would have died first? Obviously, that could only mean but note that it's dafka ben yom echad. But if it was an Uber, then we wouldn't have said such a thing. Why not? Because who might Bereisha? Beina ben Yoresha Taim bekever lanchilachim mina af. Yeah, but that's only where it's a natural death. Animele galimita. Because Ida de Vlad Zutra Chiyuta, Ida tipa ta malachamavet umechateklu le simanim. Aval nerga, then he made a Bereisha. But wasn't there a case of Yehuda Parchus Atlat Bechusay? Yeah, big deal. What does that prove? Mir Da'avi Azanavalata'a. The Mefachesed. Omer Nachman Omer Shmuel. Ha'isha she'yashvala mashber. Umeita v'shabbat. Mevi'im sakin. Umkar'in et teresa. Motzinut avlat. I understand. What's, obviously, you're not doing anything wrong, Peter. My Avid. Mechatech basu v'almahu. Omar Rabba, la nitzcha, la avi sakin der rushut rabin. So, and what's the finish? Maika mashkula. The misveka mechavalina shabbata? Well, you never heard the Mishnah. Mishnah flala, mapolet, safek usham, safek enosham, safek chai, safek me, safek nani, safek israel, mefakin olavadagal. Ah, but now that they mahat, I'm with avi lechazok of the chiyuta. Avalach, the lava, the chazak, the chiyuta, mi, kora, emalo, kamash, mala, aisha, shenerga. And then you're allowed to take her hair. Why? Isn't it Yisrei Hanan, you know? Omer Rav, be omeret, nu sari leviti. So, ilu omeret, nu yadi leviti. Would we do that? Mi avinala? Omer Rav. We would if it was a peyah nochrit, my friend. So time of the amra tnu, halo amra tnu, gufa hu mitza. I thought it was me boy, like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. The boy Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina sa'ar nashim tzitkaniot mahu, v'yama rova, bepeyah nochrit. Come here, boy, like? Yeah, but. Where it was hanging on a hook, the talib sikhta. Hawk, it's talking about that she's wearing it, the mikhbarba. So over there, dafka time of the amra too. Al amra too would have been bottled in her body, and therefore mitzah. Kasha le Reb Nachman by Yitzhak. You're comparing a behema to a mate, okay? So certainly you can't be talking about the behema wearing a shetel, at least I hope not. Things have not gotten that bad even today. The mahatam gufe, avachanami gufe. Elam Reb Nachman zo mitata osarta. And death does not affect hair. Mashenge by the way, it's the Gemar Din. That's osarta. And actually, Levi had brightot in both directions. Tani Levi kavati de Rav, and Tani Levi kavati de Nachman Yitzchak. Tani Levi kavati de Rav, Aisha shiots ale are the amrat nu sari leviti notni. Meta, in notim, if they shall meta surbana ana, isn't that obvious? Meta surbana apshita. Ella, the only possible chiddush here is to read that as noyea meta surbana, that's a chiddush. Tanaka vati de Ramachu by Yitzchak, Aisha shameta neanim bisara, beima shenerga, asurama ana. And now, my afresh, Prince Elazar, zomitata sarta, vizogamardin asartan. And Berakin Pachot Misela, Valoyo Terra, Hamishim Sela, Ketsa, Notan Sela, and then he becomes a multimillionaire, doesn't matter. He's already put it. Ain't nothing clue. But b'chol b'sel v'esher, then he has to pay the whole thing. No, 10 chamishim sel. Hayu b'yadav chamesh slayim, says Rabbi Meir, it doesn't matter. You don't pay whatever you got. You give one sela. Einotein ela achat. V'chachamim amrim, noten et kulan. And then, for some reason, the mission repeats, Ein erachim pachot misela, v'lo yet rachamishim sela. So, Ein erachim pachot misela, how do we know that? Dichtiv, chol erkecha yev shekel ha-kodesh, which means, kol erachim, shata ma'arich, lo yiyu pachutim b'shekel, and then when it says, v'lo yet rachamishim slayim, how do we know? Well, I mean, that's obvious. The maximum value that we find in the Torah, it says, dichtiv chamishim. Okay, then we have this machloket between Rabbon and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir and Rabbon and Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says that you only give one shekel even though you have five. Well, what's the logic in that? My time with Rabbi Meir, well, you've got two psukim. I mean, one pasuk says give chamishim, assuming we're talking about the ne'erach was between 20 and 60. Okay, so you give chamishim. And then the other pasuk says shekel. Okay, so I mean, how do you explain that? Obviously, it's an option. O chamishim, o shekel. V'rabbonin. I don't understand. Why do you read it that way? It's just giving a maximum value and a minimum value. It's not saying that you don't pay what you can afford. Ahula kol arachin shatamarich lo yu pchutin mishekel udiata. But obviously, heicha de'itle, if you have more, it's clear in the post that you give more because it says, asher tasig yada noder, you pay what you can afford. Well, he's got that money. Yadon masegat. Says Rabbi Meir, nah, that's not what that pasuk is coming to tell me. That's coming to tell me that it goes according to the yad hanoder and not according to the yad hanidar hudiata. Say the Rabbanan, so, but Memela, you also hear in those words the obvious fact that it does go according to what you can afford. All you're saying is, who can afford? The noder, thank you. But it's still what he can afford. So meanwhile, you see, it's Yadon Masegat, and that's Shkomini. Take what you can from the guy.